And so I'm excited. And so as Steph was saying, we're going to continue on this series of Galatians, in the book of Galatians. And so my little passion of scripture this morning is around Galatians 5, verses 1 to 12. And what we're going to aim at this morning is that we are free from works, and that there is a liberty for you and I this morning. And so just so that you, if you're here for the very first time and you haven't heard about this Galatians series that we're going through, it's about Galatians who are pretty much Gentiles. They're like you and I. We are considered as Gentiles. And so they have experienced the gospel. They have found their peace with God. They have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're working in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're preaching. They are doing signs, miracles, and wonders. And so it's a strong church. It's going well with them. And then what happens is these Judaizers, or these Jewish people, come along and they say, no, hang on. This preaching that Paul's been teaching you is not true. And what we need to do is you need to become like us as Jews. And so what they want us to do is they want to for us to accept the law and the works of the law. And so this is what the Jewish people are coming to try and primarily tell these Gentiles, is that they must obey the law. And so Paul's writing this letter as a father would, and he's saying, nonsense, do not do this. Stay in the faith. Stay with the gospel that Jesus has done for us. Stay in what I've preached and receive his grace. Amen? And so that's what it's pretty much about. And so this morning, we're going to read Galatians 5 verses 1 to 12. And it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, and you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You who were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. And so we need to understand, church, that there is a war. Every single day that you open your eyes and every time you breathe your first breath in the morning, when you put your feet down on the floor, there is a war. And this war is this, is that when we were unbelievers, we were enslaved to sin. And so the enemy had us with sin. And then when we became born again, if the enemy cannot keep you in sin and bound in sin, guess what he wants to keep you bound in? The works of the law. So if you're free from sin, what can he do? But as believers here this morning, for some of us, on the other end is that the enemy wants to try to keep us in law. And why is he trying to do that? It's because he's trying to break the relationship that we have with the Abba Father. That's what he's trying to do. And so every day we need to recognize that we are in a war and that we need to protect ourselves through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, focusing on who Jesus is, and that we can overcome this. And so he says, for freedom Christ has set us free, and then do not submit yourself again to the yoke of slavery. And so what the yoke represents, a willing service and submission to someone else. And so maybe you this morning, you're exploring the faith and you haven't given your life to Christ, well then you would be under the yoke of sin. That's what you would be under. If you are a religious leader, or if you were like a Jewish person, you would be under the yoke of slavery. And that's exactly what these Jews are trying to do. They're trying to enslave them in the yoke of slavery. And then there is the yoke of Christ. Matthew 11, I think it is, where it says, take my yoke and my burden, for it's light and easy. And that is where we fit in as born-again believers, as Christ followers. Amen? And so legalism is the outer discipline of man, and grace is the inner discipline of God. I'm going to say it again. Legalism is the outer discipline of man. Grace is the inner discipline of God. And so when we are under grace, we don't need an external force to keep us in the will of God. We don't need the law to keep us right with God. We don't need this law. What we need is we need grace. And so we need to understand that we need to move from a place of to do to a place of I am. Everybody say to do. Everybody say I am. Okay, Mike, what do you mean by that? It's quite simple. The Bible says to us that we are not to witness. It says that we are to be a witness. There's a difference between myself trying to go out and stand in a corner and preach the gospel, because that's the to-doing. But there's a difference in the place of to-being. I am a born-again believer. And so what is the most impactful thing that we can ever do is for us to show the love of God through our lives. And so it's from a place of to-being to a place of I am. Does everybody get that? Amen. So Galatians 5:2-6 says, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage." Then he says, "Every man who accepts circumcision, he is obligated to keep the whole law." Then he says, "If you are severed from Christ, you who will be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace." And lastly, he says in this passage of scripture, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." So number one, if you accept the circumcision, if you accept coming under the law, Christ will be of no advantage to you. And so every person in this room today, you had a debt to pay. Every person had a debt to pay. And there's a story in Luke 7. Jesus is speaking to Simon. He's having dinner with Simon. And Mary is busy bringing the alabaster box to him, anointing his feet with oil. And Jesus says one little thing. He says there were two debtors. And the two debtors owed a creditor money. One owed much, one owed little. But both of them were forgiven. Both of them were forgiven. There is no forgiveness in law. But there is forgiveness and grace. It doesn't matter how much sin there is in your life or how little sin there is in your life. Everybody needs the grace of God. And so you miss out on all the advantages and the benefits that Christ brings for us. And so what are these benefits that he's speaking of? Number one is that Christ teaches us. Christ teaches us everything. It's by his wisdom. He guides us into all truth. So when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is alive in us. And so what happens? We are guided in all truth. He gives us revelation of who he is. He shows us in all truth and all wisdom how we need to live our lives. And so we find that Christ teaches us. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. And so we think like him. When we submit and we yield ourselves into the Spirit of grace, we are able to transform our minds into the mind of Christ. Amen? Then Christ feeds our hearts. How does he feed our hearts? Well, how many of you have got a little bit of situations where you have a financial situation, you have a marriage issue, or whatever it might be? There are some of us in this room that have that, right? But here's the thing, is that Christ feeds our hearts. And so we receive his life. We receive his peace and his joy, his comfort. And then Christ guides our decisions and shapes our circumstances. And so we understand that Jesus is a sovereign Savior. There is nothing that he does not know, and there's nothing that he will never know, and he knows everything about you. And so he guides every circumstance in our lives. He is the one that guides our lives. And so we can totally surrender into Christ and say, he has it all, because he does. We do not know what tomorrow brings, but he does. And he will guide us in all truth. Amen? And so why would the Galatians want to turn to works? Why would they want to accept the law when everything we need is in him? And so some of us are trying to resolve a spiritual issue with natural or fleshly wisdom. Think about it. 90% of the time when we speak to people with marriage issues or whatever it might be, most of it is not a natural problem. What it is, it's a spiritual problem. It's a misalignment with God. It's an unknowing of who they are with God. And I promise you, if you find your heart with God, if you restore that relationship between son and father, I guarantee you marriages will change. And so sometimes what we're trying to do is we're trying to do these practices. If you do this, 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 and this, then it'll all work out. And some of those things are helpful, but at the end of the day, it's by God's grace and by His Spirit that we are overcomers, that we are able to restore marriages. It's by the Spirit of God that we are able to do these things. And so in Christ, we are spiritually rich, which is God's grace, Ephesians 1:7. And the law comes and it robs us of all these riches. And so number two, if you accept or come under the law, you're obligated to keep the whole law. Legalism is sin against God. Therefore, it puts you back into the place of owing God. Think about it. And so Jesus wants us to choose Him, for He is the Spirit of life. And if we accept the law, you attempt to be equal to Jesus by the works of your flesh. Think about this. Jesus gives His life for you. He dies on the cross for you. Number one, by His blood, our sins have been forgiven. They've been washed clean. And He is the spotless Lamb of God. And He fulfills the law. And He dies on the cross for you and I. But what we do with the law is we come this side and we say, no, 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 hang on, Jesus. I've got it in control. I can do this. And so through works, we try and do exactly what He is doing. And so we are trying to make ourselves equal with God. But how many of you know that Jesus is Lord of Lords? He is the King of Kings. There is no equal to Jesus. There is no equal to Jesus. Who can be His equal? And Lucifer tried this with God. He tried it. He tried to be equal to God, and what happened to him? He was cast out of heaven. It is no longer that I that live, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so the Judaizers are wanting the Galatians to believe that Jesus is not enough, and it's the practicing of the law that will make us more spiritual. And so what is the result of this, of the Galatians, of the people of Galatia accepting the law, is that they fall from grace. They fall from grace. And so Galatians 5:4 says, you are severed from Christ, you who will be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. So we need to understand this, that you cannot mix grace and law. So to give you a little bit of a story, there's a gentleman, and he's a really good man. He's very, very good, and he's been an obedient boy, and he's never broken the law, never. And one day he's driving his car, and the robot is about to change red. And have any of you been in that moment where you're driving the speed limit and you just came to that point where you're going, okay, I'm going to make it. No, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make it. No, I'm not going to make it. Have you been in that place? And you just go, let's go for it. And you just go through the red robot, right? Cornell shouting yes, 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 very loudly up front, yeah. And so what happens is this poor man, he goes to the red robot and he's going, and he hears behind him, whoop, whoop, the cop car signals him, and he says, pull over. And he gets out, and then the policeman comes to him with his ticket. And he says to the police officer, he goes, police officer, I've obeyed the laws of the land. I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. I've obeyed all the laws of the land. I'm really a good person. And it's just this one time. I was in an indecisive moment, and I went through this red robin, and I feel so terrible, and I'm so sorry. Please have grace for me. Please just, I am so, so sorry for that. And the policeman takes his book out, and his little ticket book, and he starts writing out his ticket. And he gives him his fine. He disciplines him for his act of disobedience. Here's the difference, is that grace forgives you every single time you miss. But the law punishes you for the very one thing that you did wrong. I'm going to say it again. Grace forgives you for when you miss it. But the law punishes you when you get it wrong. And so the Bible says that all fall short of the glory of God. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but my grace is sufficient for you. And so to fall from grace is to discredit what Jesus did on the cross. Basically saying, it is not enough. It is not enough. And so I want to give you a bit of an illustration of this. I would bet my uncle's buck on the Pharisees around this. That when Jesus was standing or kneeling, being tied to a pole, while a Roman soldier was whipping his back and ripping the flesh out of his back, there was no hatred in his heart. There was no anguish towards him. But what there was is, I love you and I forgive you. I love you and I forgive you. Every time they whipped him. Maybe you, that Roman soldier, and you've been whipping him. He forgives you. Jesus, in that moment, if I had to put a Pharisee in that place, if I had to put a Jewish leader in that place, I guarantee you, he would not say, I love you and I forgive you. Only Jesus could do that. And that's why when he was crucified, church, when he gave his life for us, he said to the people that are crucifying, he says, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. In my mind and in my life, I've never seen a man so gracious. I've never seen a man with so much love in his heart for people. Never. Never. And so how can these people say it is not enough? How can these Jewish leaders say it is not enough of what Christ did for us? It is enough. It is enough. And so by faith, number three, by faith, working through love, we are free. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. And so what we understand is that when we are saved by faith, we are adopted as sons in Christ Jesus. And so, church, it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter if you are Jewish or if you are Greek or if you're Irish or if you're Scottish or if you're English or if you're Khoza. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible, how little you read your Bible, how much you pray and how much you pray. It doesn't matter. These things don't matter. It doesn't matter if you keep all the laws or you're a good person or a bad person. It doesn't matter. None of these things matter, but our faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, when it comes to our right standing with God, none of these things matter. It's a relational issue with God that these people are struggling with. And so the Judaizers are trying to force this law onto them. And it's only by faith in Jesus and by his grace that we are sons and daughters of God. It's only by faith in him. No other way. Not by works, not by trying to do things for him. It's only by his grace. Amen? Yeah. And then he says, but faith only working through love. And this is how we know we have received his grace, is by faith through love, in which causes us to act in love towards God, ourselves, and others. And that is his greatest commandment. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. And then he says to us, he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I've seen with many people as they love God and they're able to love people, but people struggle to love themselves. Why? It's because they're trying to achieve his affection. They're trying to gain his affirmation for them. But it's enough, church. Everybody say, I am a child of God. I am loved. And I love myself. And I love others. And so James chapter 2 verses 14 to 23 explains this quite beautifully. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. And so there are many people in different cultures and religions. We know the Buddhists, we know there's Buddhists and Muslims and whatever it might be. And these poor people, I actually feel really sorry for them. It's because they are so isolated and they're so bound by law. There is no freedom for them that they are trying to do these things to keep their hearts pure before God in order for one day to be approved by God. Everybody believes that there is a God. Everybody. Maybe an atheist will deny that there is a God, but I guarantee you deep down in their hearts, they know there is a greater power up there, and that is God himself. Everybody has that witness within themselves. And so these poor guys, they're punishing themselves. They're punishing themselves. They're isolating themselves from the world and from friends and impacting people. The efforts by the law, which is by our flesh, cannot accomplish what faith can do, or can by the Spirit, which is love. So you might be asking the question, but Mike, I thought that we were free from works. But I want to say this. I want to explain it for you. By faith in Jesus Christ and acting out of love is not the same as making a checklist of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt. There's a very big difference, people. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we receive his love and his grace, we don't respond out of to-dos and ticking off checklists of coming to church on a Sunday and expecting that is going to get us into heaven. No, 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 no. It's about who I am and accepting that I am a child of God. That's all I need to do. I don't need to do anything else. I just need to do that. So those that rely on his grace manufacture love. Think about it. The law says do not murder. But if I love somebody, why would I murder? The law says, do not commit adultery. But if I love myself, God, and others, then why would I commit adultery? If the law says, do not steal, why would I steal if I love God and I love people and I love myself? Why would I do that? My works do not come from to-dos. My works comes from an inner conviction of the Holy Spirit compelling me to love those that are around me. Amen? That is what it's all about, church. And so in the name of Jesus today, be free of that. Be free of that. Get rid of your checklist, but receive his grace. Receive his grace. Know that you are accepted by the beloved. Know it. And from that place, allow him through the Holy Spirit to manufacture this love inside of you and express it in ways that you've never been able to do before. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And so he says in verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. And so Paul is saying to the Galatian church, he's saying, you were running well. You were doing so well. You were doing everything that was asked. You were flowing out of this place of grace. The preaching was done. The people were coming to the knowledge of Christ. People were being healed. People were being saved. The church was in a healthy place. They were running well. Then he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, he's basically saying, identify who's attacking you. Identify who's knocking you off the path. Who is it? Who's trying to misplace you? And so we see in the Garden of Eden, Satan comes along and he says, did God say to Adam and Eve? What was he trying to do? He was trying to misplace them. He was trying to get them out of the relationship with God the Father. But Jesus Christ has restored us back to that place. And so what the enemy is trying to do, if he cannot keep you bound in sin, he will keep you bound in law. And when you try and keep yourself, if you try to keep the law, I guarantee you when you mess up, guilt and shame will come in. That's what will happen, church. And it's a downward spiral when we try and keep the law. And so he wants us free of those things. So identify in your life right now, Galatians, the Gentiles, identify who is trying to misplace you, who's trying to knock you off course. This persuasion, he says, is not from him who calls you. And so we know that this is not God. This is the enemy who is trying to knock you off. And so people fall from grace due to a lack of identity. It is faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross alone that restores our place and identity with God as sons and daughters. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of an illustration now. And just quickly, can we just play that little clip, please? Just listen to this. So that what you're hearing right now was this little girl's heartbeat just before she came out of her mummy. This is my little Riley Hope. What I want you to do is picture yourself like this in the arms of the Father. And that morning while I was sitting listening to that heartbeat, I said to myself, I hear you, my girl. I hear you. I can't wait to see you. I cannot wait to hold you. I am so excited for the life that you will bring into this world. I cannot wait for the change that you will make in the lives of people around you. I didn't think I was going to get this emotional. But here's the thing. This is you in the arms of the Father. And I'm going to speak to Riley how I believe God is speaking to you. And so here it goes. Riley, you have done nothing, absolutely nothing. Yet, you've done nothing, but you are my daughter. You've never had to do anything in this life to become my daughter. You are my daughter. You are my little girl. And even though you get married one day and you change your name, even when you make the mistakes in life, even if you're successful in school, you're not successful, no matter what it is, nothing will ever change the fact that you are my daughter. Nothing will change that. My love for you will never change. My affection for you will never change. But I give you my heart. I give you my heart. You are my daughter, and nothing will ever change that. You don't have to prove a point. You don't have to make Daddy the happiest guy around the world. Just know that you are loved. Just know that you are my daughter, and nothing will change that. Nothing will change that. You don't have to be perfect because you're not perfect. But what you are is that you are loved. You are loved, my girl. That is my heart for my little Riley. That's my heart for this little girl. She doesn't have to be perfect. Right now, nothing will ever change it. Here she is, my daughter. And I'm proud of her right now. I am proud to be her father, and I'm grateful that she is my daughter. So God is saying that to you this morning, that he is so proud of you, and that he loves you, and there's nothing that you need to do to earn his love, his gratitude, the riches that he has for you. All you need to do is accept his love by his grace. That's all you need to do. Stop striving, church. Stop striving. Isn't she beautiful? And so, she's beautiful like a mommy. And so this is my little place. It was the best way that I could kind of describe what I felt when I read through this passage of scripture. I saw a place that there was this identity that was being lost. The Judeans are trying to come and misplace them and say, do all these works to find the Father's love, and then he'll accept you. Become like a Jew. But you are who you are. And guess who made you? God. He made you just as you are, and there is nothing in your life that could ever change the fact that you are a son and a daughter of God. Nothing. And so in my life, church, in my life, I've strived for position. I have strived to try and get to a place, and it made me tired. It made me tired. But it's when I submit myself to the will of the Father and I come under His grace and I know that I'm loved by Him and I am that I am. From that place, all authority flows, all love flows, all grace flows. The Spirit of God flows through me. There is nothing that I need to do. There's nothing that I need to manufacture. It's just by knowing my identity with God. And through that place, God will use you mightily. It's through that place. And so today, be free from works. And so the world, humanity, everybody sees God as God. Legalists, whatever they are, religious people see God as God. But a born-again believer doesn't just see God as God, but they see Him as Abba Father. There is a big difference, church. Many of us have been sitting in this church for a long time, or you've been going to church for a long time. And I was one of those guys. And I saw God as God, but I never saw God as Abba Father. And that is only revealed to you and I when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we receive the love of the Father, and He opens our eyes to this Father that is just so delightful and so wonderful. Amen? And so I just want to pray with you guys this morning. Father, this message and your gospel is not complicated. It's not complicated. What it is just for us just to receive the Father's love. To know that we are the beloved of God. To know that we are a child of God. God, my prayer today is that everybody sitting here today would stop striving. They'll get rid of the checklist, Father. But God, they will find their peace and their identity in Christ Jesus and His finished work of the cross. Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts and open our eyes to see the Father afresh and anew. God, would you come and lift the burden that's been so heavy on the shoulders of people, Father? And would you come and just breathe upon them? Take the weight off of them. Bring healing to hearts, Father, today in Jesus' name. God, it's only by your Spirit, it's only by your Spirit that we are able to function in your grace and your love. It's only by your Spirit. It's only by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's only by your guidance, it's only by your hand that we are able to do things in this life, Father. Father, we are so ever grateful for who you are. Thank you, God, that we are not misplaced, that we're not a mistake, Father. But God, that you have given us a sense of identity, that we are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. That you restored us, that you redeemed us, that you brought us back into your loving arms. Where would I want to go? Why would I search to try and find my approval when you've already approved me? And so, Father, I just pray today that everybody in this place would not be deceived in trying to draw them back into laws and legalisms and things that I just don't mean anything. But God, I just pray that now, Holy Spirit, you would settle their hearts, you would settle their hearts in the love and the affirmation of the Father, that you would open their eyes to see what Jesus did again, afresh and anew. I pray this today in Jesus' name. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, church. Shall we stand? And let's just worship this morning. Amen? Let's actually pray. Father, I just thank you right now, God, as our hands are lifted towards you, Father, as sons and daughters, God. That God, that you are smiling upon us right now. That God, that Lord, that we're just going to lift our voices. We're going to worship you in spirit and truth. That we're going to give our all to you right now, God. And God, be glorified in this place. Be lifted up high on our praises to you this morning, God. Be worshipped and be adored. For you are worthy. You are worthy of all our praise and all the glory and all the honor, God. You are worthy. And so, God, as your family, as your children, we just want to bring praise to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.